Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thanks for that. Over the next 2 days, I'll be joined by a man that I deeply respect, a very special leader who's anchored in faith and service, Dr. Dondi Costin. I want to tell you, this man is all about life, love, faith, and family, and community. Dr. Costin is the president of Liberty University, and before returning to his alma mater in 2023, he served as president of Charleston Southern University and spent 36 years in the United States Air Force, retiring as a major general and the Air Force Chief of Chaplains. With advanced degrees in theology, ministry, and leadership, Dr. Costin brings a powerful vision for integrating Christian faith with academic excellence as he works with faculty and staff to train up the next generation of champions for Christ. Our conversation is filled with his testimony and his wisdom. So lean in. Let's go there now.
Thanks, Dr. Clinton. I would not miss a chance to chat with the Liberty OG. If I'm not mistaken, you may be the first to have gone kindergarten through PhD in the Liberty system. And so thank you for everything that you have done and continue to do as a champion for Christ, impacting the world. So it's a great opportunity to talk to you. I appreciate the chance to do so.
Dr. Costin, again, thank you so much for your leadership and all that you've brought to this incredible university. It means the world to me and my family, this incredible place. Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr., his vision, and I'm just a product of something like that, and I'm grateful that I've gotten to grow up in this bubble of just Christianity and leadership around Liberty University, and you have added so much value to this university. You're now in your third year, if I'm not mistaken. You came and kind of came on board here July 2023. I'd love just to ask up front, what has this place meant to you, and really what has God taught you during your time here at Liberty University?
Like you, Liberty changed my life, and that's not an overstatement. I was a second lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force. I was an industrial engineer. I'd been called to be a chaplain, and this was before the internet. This was before cell phones, and so there was no such thing as online education. But Liberty had found a way. Liberty has always been on the front lines. They've always been on the cutting edge. They've always been innovative. And so about 2 years before my calling to be a military chaplain, Dr. Falwell and one of his colleagues had a brainstorm. And they said, I wonder if there's a way that we could deliver accredited education at the graduate level to people all around the world, and I was one of those people. I was living in Florida at the time, and so your father was one of my professors. And my first master's degree in counseling here, I wound up getting another one here because we were stationed over in Hampton, Virginia with the U.S. Air Force. But Liberty changed my life in so many ways. I would not have done what I did in the Air Force without Liberty University. I would not be sitting here today without Liberty University. And so coming home, in a sense, has really been a remarkable opportunity for us to plug back in. I was an Air Force chaplain for a bunch of years as well, and in God's providence, I was endorsed to the chaplaincy by Liberty Baptist Fellowship. So I got to come back every few years and see the miracle happening on the mountain, and now it's just a wonderful time being part of it.
Dr. Costin, faith has been something that is uniquely threaded throughout your entire story and narrative, whether it was the Chief of Chaplains of the United States Air Force, whether it was the President of Charleston Southern and now Liberty, both faith-based institutions and universities, faith has been a large part of your story. And like you said, keeping the main thing is very important to you and the person that you are. I'd love to hear the backwater of your story, a little bit more of your testimony, and when did Dr. Dondi Costin come to know the Lord?
Yeah, fortunately, I was blessed to be born in a Christian family. My mom and dad were Christians when they married. They raised me in a Christian home. I would have had no choice. You know, as we say, you probably say, I was going to church 9 months before I was born.
That's right.
You know, and every time the door was open. And one of the things I often talk about is just in my own life, the way I was immersed in the things of God early on, because my parents parented me. My parents knew that the most important thing that they had to do was introduce me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to surround me with a community of faith that gave me no choice but to do the right thing at the right time with the right people. And so I think I was saved at a young age. I was 7 years old and was baptized shortly thereafter. And it was clear to me at 7 years old that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ was the only way. And my parents, poured into me a love for the Word of God. And so that really shaped and formed me. When I went to the U.S. Air Force Academy undergrad, got there at 17, I say, not jokingly anymore, that my mother prayed. A Southern Baptist chaplain there, he'd been he was a 1960 grad of the U.S. Air Force Academy. He flew helicopters in Vietnam, tough kind of guy.
Yeah.
Then he went to seminary, and then he came back. And so he showed up at the Air Force Academy as a chaplain when I showed up as a freshman. And so my mother prayed him there. I was part of a Baptist campus ministry. We called it Baptist Student Union back in the day. And when I had those questions that any college kid would have, I was at a very secular school. But I began having questions that any college kid would have, even a church kid, like, how do I know that the Bible is the Word of God? You know, I believe it, but how do I know? I mean, who wrote these books? Who determined the canon? All of that. Well, I had a very godly Baptist Student Union director, and so he loaded us all up in a van and took us to a Josh McDowell Evidence That Demands a Verdict seminar in Denver. And so, I think God just provided for me. When I had questions, which he encourages college kids to have questions, he had sent people around me to point me in the right direction. And so fast forward a bunch of years, I become the Air Force Chief of Chaplains. And at a time when religion and faith had sort of been on the outs, right. You know, there were lawsuits and there was controversy. Yeah. And so when I became the Air Force Chief of Chaplains, and I would say to people, I'd say to commanders, hey guys, the First Amendment is first for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an accident that the First Amendment is first. Freedom of religion is the first one.
Right.
It wasn't a random choice. It's because the value of faith has always been something that military members understood. General George Washington started the chaplaincy even before we were a country, because he knew that war fighters needed to be grounded, they needed to be aligned with the God who loves them. And so I would just talk to commanders, and I would say, man, if you don't like the fact that this 3,500-year-old book, which continues to be the bestseller in the entire world, tells the story of how God designed us in His image and allows us to align ourselves with His ways, both in our family and our work and our parenting and professionally and all the other things. If you don't like that, which is this book that has never failed, I'm going to kind of come through the side door.
Yeah.
And so I came through the side door of academic research. And as you know better than I know, academic research, there are thousands of articles published every single year about the benefits of faith and devout religious practice on health in all its aspects. And the data are incontrovertible. And so I said, as chief of chaplains, my professional development, one year, in my first year, I went to a seminar on a research seminar with a bunch of academics on how to do research on the relationship between faith and health. Mm-hmm. And I sat on the front row. I didn't tell anybody who I was. I was wearing civilian clothes. And Dr. Harold Koenig was the teacher. And for an entire week, 8 to 5, I took copious notes, and God spoke to me in that seminar for an entire week. And I went back and I said, my theme as Air Force Chief of Chaplains is going to be faith works. And so I would say to people, here I stand as a chaplain. I wear a cross on my uniform. There's no doubt as to who I am. You know I believe the Bible. You know I think you should believe the Bible, but also religious freedom is religious freedom. And so I'm not going to push anything on anybody unless they ask me. Yeah. But what I will do is say to commanders, the First Amendment's first for a reason. And then I would say, if you don't believe the Bible, what about these mounds of data that say to you that warfighters are better? They're better warfighters, they're better family people, they're better parents, and because if they have faith, they're going to be better at their job, why would you withhold from your warfighters, commanders, whom you're responsible for, why would you withhold from them that which is so demonstrably good for them?
That's right.
And so they didn't have anything to say in response. And so I would often, when I briefed commanders, and I briefed every brand new wing commander, every brand new group commander, I would put up a screenshot of a USA Today article, an op-ed that was published in October of 2016 by Tyler Vanderwill.
That's right.
And the title of this op-ed, and the title is brilliant: Religion May Be a Miracle Drug. And so here Tyler Vanderwill is at Harvard, Dr. Harold Koenig at Duke. These guys are doing this research, pointing to it's another way that God reveals who he is and reveals truth through academic study. We are uncovering, we're discovering all the things that God has put into the universe and into his creation. We're just uncovering and discovering it. So this Harvard professor of public health, after looking at all the data, and oh, by the way, he's also a biostatistician, looking at the data, says religion may be a miracle drug if you look at the population level. And I said, okay, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to help our chaplains and chaplain assistants understand that religion isn't weird. Faith isn't something that's on the periphery or certainly shouldn't be. It's always been core and key to who we are as humans and as American soldiers.
Yes.
This is what we do. And so faith works sort of became the theme. And it was just a providential discovery that he allowed me to have. And that was my theme.
You know, I love that faith works. And you brought up something that we both are very passionate about, which is this concept of human flourishing. Tyler Vanderwill, Dr. Harold Koenig, Dr. Byron Johnson, the Global Flourishing Study. I know that we here at Liberty, something that my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, Dr. Ron Hawkins, have had the opportunity of joining alongside of you guys in your leadership here, the Global Center for Human Flourishing. And I know that with all the research that is continuing to come out, you've already alluded to it, Dr. Costin, that faith really is a pathway to flourishing. We look at the spiritual discipline, spending time in God's word, spending time in religious community, spending time in prayer, just in the presence of God. But on top of that, the characteristics that are really biblical roots, kindness, gratitude, forgiveness, close social connectedness, all of these things have shown to have impacts on positive well-being and overall mental health. I'd love for you, sir, just to speak to the impact that you believe Liberty University right here can have in this conversation with some of those leading experts on that very topic of human flourishing.
Yeah, back in the day, I would talk about Dr. Koenig, and I would talk about him being at Duke.
Yeah.
And this was long before I knew what's coming here.
Yeah.
And then I would talk about Dr. Tyler Vanderwill and him being at Harvard. And my point was, and then I would say, they're at Duke and Harvard, not at Liberty. Mm. Because you would expect me, commanders, to talk about Liberty because it's a Christian school.
Yeah.
But what about Duke and what about Harvard? And my point was simply to say this academic literature and this academic research, again, the data are incontrovertible. In this era, I get to say it's Duke and Harvard and Liberty.
That's right.
Because this data is as effective an apologetics tool, an explanatory mechanism in our era as in any other era, perhaps even more so. So what we want is scholars at Liberty University, both faculty and student scholars, to understand how to do research, and to understand as they build this body of literature, they do so by, you know, the scientific method. They do so by proper research techniques and approaches, and they present the data. And we want to add to that body of literature in a profound way. I will often point out to people that if I could draw a chart. And I could put the year 2008 as the beginning of this chart. And what I would show you on this chart is from 2008 to 2025. Here we are. The incidence of the iPhone, you know, goes up and to the right. The religiosity in America, really the West, but religiosity in America, as this is going up, religiosity is going down.
Yeah.
It's no coincidence that while religiosity is going down and social media is going up, Jonathan Haidt's done a lot of research and studying this, that mental health issues are also going up. This is not a coincidence.
Yes.
These things are tied together. And so as we are sending Champions for Christ out into their spheres of influence all around the world, all over the world, I want them to understand that what they are able to say to people is the same thing I said to commanders and airmen. If you don't believe the Bible yet, then what about all this data? And I know how you can turn your nose up at the Bible, but how can you possibly look at these thousands of studies and go, well, I don't believe it? Well,
right.
What? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's another way that we get to demonstrate, again, the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God in helping us align ourselves with the way He made us. I would often say to commanders and airmen and others, I would say, you know, this is not a coincidence. Where else do you have, and this has been going on for millennia, where else do you have in 2025 a multi-generational body of believers who takes their families as families to church? And you have nursery all the way through 80s, 90s, 100-year-old people who've lived through multiple generations. Where do you have a place anywhere else in society where this happens every week and multiple times, and they are able to talk about life and suffering and faith and parenting? You know, the older generation, they've been there, got the T-shirt, they've followed God through difficulty. Man, wouldn't it be cool if you could find yourself in a place? And oh, by the way, every single week they bring out a 3,500-year-old book, and they talk about life and meaning and purpose and value. Man, where could we do that? Well, we can do it. We can do it in church. And so we should probably do more of that. And so again, no coincidence that as religiosity has gone down, then mental health problems have gone up, because the Word of God addresses every single issue that we face. And so why don't we just return back to the thing that we know works? And again, faith works. I think often about, in my experience was probably very similar to yours. When I was being raised, I was probably at church 7 or 8 times a week, and every time I was there, it was with another adult, people my age, and it was Bible study, and it was worship twice on a Sunday morning, and then a Sunday night, it was Bible study and worship twice on Sunday night, and then it was youth choir, and then it was Wednesday night, prayer meeting, or kids programs, and then youth programs, and then there were leadership opportunities, all of this, and I think about the amount of biblical content that was poured into my life, 7 or 8 times a week versus what happens today.
Yes.
And today, very often, my mother said, I would never have you join a church that didn't have Sunday night service. And part of that was I want you to never miss a chance to spend time with God's people, studying God's word, learning about God, and learning about yourself. And so it's no coincidence. We have this fantastic sociological gift that God gave us thousands of years ago. And as a culture, we've abandoned the thing that works. It doesn't make sense. And so, you hear today talk about a vibe shift or revival and all that. You know, I guess time will tell if that's right. But yeah. But I think what people are recognizing is, man, what we're doing isn't working. Maybe there's another way. And I would say, you better believe there's another way. That's it's right. been proven over and over and over again.
Dr. Costin, I'm grateful for, again, just your leadership and your hunger for truth. And like you mentioned, the data and research that Liberty is able to accumulate alongside of secular universities like Duke, like Harvard, but also Christian universities like Baylor, the Global Flourishing Study. It's amazing what God is continuing to reveal. And you can't argue with the evidence. Like you said, you can try to, but you really can't at the end of the day, because truth is truth. Dr. Costin, you've alluded now a couple of times to a mission that you really brought here. And obviously the mission of Liberty is training champions for Christ. But, you know, before you got here, kind of the slogan was, if it's Christian, it should be better. And I agree with that, right? Yeah. There's a standard of excellence. We need to continue to pursue righteousness and holiness every day. But at the end of the day, you also brought in a slogan. Yes, it should be better, but if it's Christian, it should also be Christian, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I think what I wanted to pose a question to you, sir, is mission drift is a very real thing where, you know, you mentioned that the roots of this great land, this country was built on biblical roots, but it's easy to drift away from the mission when other things are pulling our attention elsewhere. I'm thinking about people that I went to high school with at LCA that, you know, they were raised in the faith, but, you know, pastor's kids, there's a big thing against them, but it's easy to just fall off track, fall off course. Speak a word of encouragement to somebody today who maybe has drifted away from the mission.
God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God created you in His image. And the best thing about God, He's a forgiving and a restoring God. And so whatever you have done, whatever you have failed to do, as long as there is breath in your lungs and life in your body, God says, come home. You know, come back to me and I will restore you. This is nothing new to God. You know, if you look in the book of Judges, every one of our lives is a micro illustration of the book of Judges. And it sort of goes like this. God saves us. He positions us well. He says, now you trust me. And we trust him for a while until we think, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. You know, and I don't need God anymore. And God's kind of boring. And I want to go, I want to be on a travel baseball team on a Sunday morning instead of going to church. And, you know, I'll listen to it online or whatever, which is okay for a little while. But what we need is human contact, right? What God would have you to do is just go back to the former things. And so God allows us to pull away from him. That's what he allows. And it never fails. We find ourselves in a ditch, a prodigal son ditch or a judge's ditch. And when the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Hittites and all the others are attacking us, we say, oh, God, we can't do this without you. And God says, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that this whole time. Remember the old days when things were going well? You didn't have all the money you needed. You didn't have everything that you needed. Maybe your life was still a challenge, but you had me. And I was bringing you through those things. And I will bring you through those things again. All you have to do is call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things that you really want and need to know. And that's who God is. God will bring you back. He will restore you, and it's not too late. That's right. And that's the message I need to hear. It's the message you need to hear. Yes. And, you know, I suspect there are many people who are listening to us right now who need to be reminded that God loves you with an everlasting love, and he will always love you that way.
What a word of hope and encouragement. Thank you for being here with me, Dr. Costin. We're out of time for today, but I'd like to ask you to stay right there. We have much more to cover. Dr. Costin will be back on our next program to answer more of my questions on the intersection of faith and human flourishing and how academic institutions such as Liberty can play a vital role in nurturing that very thing. I believe that's why Dr. Donnie Costin has been placed in this unique position to steward his gifts and minister through leadership to help develop such a special university for such a time as this. We'll pause our conversation conversation right there, but be sure to join us tomorrow as we continue talking about faith, human flourishing, and Dr. Costin's vision for how the Lord will keep working in powerful ways. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and on behalf of my dad, my co-host, and my best friend, Dr. Tim Clinton, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wished they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.